Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap as if you're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
You know I got an electric fence around my garden, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, so... full transparency, it's got me before, right? Yeah. So it's one of those fences that, like, it's a clicker. So it's like click, click, click. It's
Yeah, you hear it.
Yeah, you can hear it snapping.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't grab a hold of you. It, like, it's made to hit an anvil and push you off, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you just touch it and you're not grounded, it's just like, you know, like 24 volts.
Yeah,
no
like a phone wire.
Dude, I fucking forgot it was on today. So I'm out there weeding the sweet corn, you know.
Get into it.
Man,
sweaty hands.
I grabbed a hold of the fucking fence posts, which are metal, so it's grounded, and fucking touched that wire. Dude, I mean, it lit me up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and when it goes from hand to hand, like, you can feel it in your chest. I thought I was having a fucking heart attack.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
I was,
like Home Alone 2, when he touches the washer.
Yeah, I'm out there by myself. No one's home. I'm just, oh, fuck. Ow, shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Man, I felt like such a dope. Just such a fucking dope.
I watched a video, ironically, today. This lady's like using hedge trimmers. They're like corded hedge trimmers.
Yeah.
And you can tell from the video, she doesn't know what she's doing. Hedge trimmers, they have a handle and a trigger, and then they have a guard rail. To where, kind of like a chainsaw, it's a guard that goes all the way around them to where you can change your positioning of your hand, right?
Yeah.
She's going two hands on the handle and the trigger.
Oh, Jesus.
And it gets like away from her and kind of out of control. And so she lets go with one hand and goes to readjust her other hand.
Oh, God.
And instead of grabbing the guard or the bar,
shit.
She grabbed the actual chopper.
Oh, shit.
And like you see three fingers fall onto the sidewalk. And you're just like... That actually happened. Wow.
Yes.
That's
dude, those are sharp.
Yeah.
Dude, they'll cut, like, I have an electric one. It'll cut, I think, up to 1 inch.
Yeah, I bet she gives that thing a thumbs up because she can't give it any fingers up. She doesn't have any left. Like,
that's all. Yeah. All she's got's a pistol.
Finger guns.
She's got a two pistols.
That's it. That. So I texted you that picture. I don't know. I don't
Are
know
we
how
talk
I,
about this.
Yeah,
on the show?
I don't know how I stumbled across these, but I get these things on my Facebook newsfeed.
Let's be honest. It was a Tinder ad. So
well, but look how grainy the photo is. This has been shared on social media thousands of times.
Hey, no judgment. I'm just saying
it came across my Facebook feed,
ad.
But
That's
it's a picture of a Tinder ad, and this chick's only got one arm.
She's hot,
and the description says hands down the best catch you'll see all day on Tinder, and then it's like body.
10 of 10.
10 of 10. Or what was it? Like personality, maybe.
Face 10 of 10.
Face 10 of
10.
Body 9 of 10. Personality 20 of 10. Hands 1 of 2.
No, it said arms.
Arms 1 of 2.
Arms 1 of 2.
It's like, well played, lady.
Yeah.
Well played.
Like, you got to have a pretty good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Keep rolling with that.
Yeah. Mitch is just on Tinder window shopping.
Just this week, somebody sent me a photo or I found it somewhere. And it's like a test that a toddler or a preschooler would take, or maybe a kindergartner would take. And the test is describe this image, and it shows two people sleeping in bed.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And instead of the word sleeping, the kid writes mom and the plumber.
Yeah.
And the kid's name is Carl, and he's got his name written on the top of the paper. And so I share it, and I'm like, Carl, I thought we were cool. Like, snitches get stitches, Carl. Come on now. No need to tell everybody how your mom pays the plumber.
Mom and the plumber. Oh, my God.
And the teacher crosses it out, and she writes, like, sleeping question mark, like,
yeah,
maybe we need to investigate you, Carl.
Yeah,
or mom.
Yeah, or maybe
Carl's mom,
or maybe not put that image on there.
But hey,
like,
I mean,
would it...
Carl's mom, if you are looking for a plumber, we are looking for customers, so feel free to give us a call. Yeah. And
Mitch,
we'll get
are you trying to tell
of.
Us something?
I'm out of the field now.
Window shopping on Tinder.
What? Yeah.
You that's you exactly and Cole having yeah. serious issues. I mean, I don't, you know.
I thought he could keep his mouth shut.
Well, I'm just saying, dude. Like, if there's something to tell us, you got to tell us now.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
I saw a video of this dude. He was filming his friend who's like in an electric wheelchair. They passed a sign saying like, please walk. And he looks down. He's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Dude, those are the best. There's also another that's sort so of comedy dark. Series where it's like two wives and they're both husbands are disabled, but they like, they'll use their situation like for comedy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like the guy will say something and the wife is like, well, I'm not changing you tonight.
Oh, yeah. So, that's just saying so stuff like dirty. That.
And they just talk about like, do people think you're angels because you married disabled? And then the guy will be like, no, she's not an angel. And then well, she'll snap back at him.
Bitch. I've seen that couple. They're pretty funny.
It just made me think about that. The guy that's in the electric wheelchair during the 4th of July.
No, Terry.
Put it in reverse, Terry. Back it up, Terry.
Terry, no.
Yeah. So when we were first into this,
makes me laugh.
When we were first into this water sport thing, you know, I'm still learning how to turn the boat around and pick up skiers. And again, inboards, they behave at slow speeds, totally different than any other boat out there. Yeah. And so every once in a while, you kind of drift right past them and you have to circle back around and get them again or whatever.
You need to have a couple ropes over the side that they can just grab.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what you need.
So I'm going back to pick up Mason and I kind of go past him and he's like, put in reverse, Terry. It's pretty funny. So,
oh my God.
So one more funny story that this actually comes from one of our Tradewinds members. We were on a coaching call earlier this week and he's had a little bit of stuff going on in his family where his mother-in-law has gone through some medical procedures and stuff like that. And so the doctors put the mother-in-law on a 10-pound weight restriction. And it's obvious that his father-in-law gives no fucks. He has none left to give. And
emotionally unavailable.
Dude, I laughed so hard when he said this.
His father-in-law goes out and researches these and actually finds a vacuum that weighs less than 10 pounds so that she doesn't get behind on her house chores while she's got the 10-pound weight restriction.
And I'm like, after my own heart.
Man, I don't know if I got the balls to pull that off.
No, like, your wife would kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, yeah. She's probably dark. I don't even know if she'd wait for my sleep for that. She might kill me with a 10-pound vacuum.
Yeah,
if
she might. She's dark. She's disturbed inside.
What happened to you? You see how it says auric right here?
Yeah,
that's the auric. 8-pound XL.
Auric.
Auric is missing out on serious commercial space here, like, hey, your wife put on a 10-pound restriction.
Yeah,
you need the 8-pound XL. You know,
shark be calling us.
Yeah. Let me advertise for you.
I don't know if you, there's this comedian, I think John Chris, but his wife was like, oh, like my car, I can't take it. Can I take your car? He's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And he goes out, and the next shot you see him, he's like in a polo. He's like, okay, well, we're just going to go around the car and examine a few things. So you notice there's no scratches here. Like he's
all
like,
all the wheels are not curved.
Yeah, and he's going around, let's check around here. And he just like,
yep. That's like all the dudes that parody their wives. And they're like, there's one video I've seen where this guy takes his wife's purse and sets it on the kitchen counter. And then he leans back in the chair and he like stomps his feet onto her purse and she freaks out and everything else. Well, then it flips to them in the car and she's very nicely getting her feet off of the dash. Right.
Yeah.
And then he takes her shoe and he like takes her shoe and grinds it into the curb and scratches it up. And then it shows her like parallel parking without nailing a curb. And then he does a whole bunch more after that, but it's like,
yeah,
these are all the things where women do. And they're just like, oopsie, hee hee. You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I just ran over 8 mailboxes today.
Yeah. He takes her makeup case and he slams the door closed like 20 times on the makeup case. And of course it breaks all the makeup in there. And then it flips to her like gently closing the car door.
Yeah.
Instead of slamming the car door closed.
Like she's learning her lesson or something.
Yeah. And then he does another one with shoes where he drags the shoes through the mud. And then it shows her like clicking the water off of her shoes before she gets in the car. Not dragging the mud and everything off the street across the door sill of the car.
Have you seen the ones where it's like the girlfriend will put up a camera and she sees how many times that she could reach in the back seat and pull her purse and whack the guy in the head?
Yep.
And you see the guy like being restrained at first, but he's just like,
Yep.
At what point is it acceptable in society for the guy to
listen?
Be like,
yeah, no, it's two.
Yeah.
You get one free pass.
You get one free one, yeah.
Yeah. Second one, that thing's out the fucking window.
Yep. You hit me once, shame on you. You hit me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
I think it's, too, it's different. Like, it's, you know, they're, it's a full-on person. There's metal on it, and you could just, they're really clanking.
Dude.
Clank, clank.
Good way to get your teeth knocked out.
Yep.
Oh, my God. What do you want to talk about, Mitch?
So we only have one topic today, and it might go long. I don't know. If it goes short, then this would just be a short show.
It'd be the first short show in, like, 2 years.
2 years, right. So the topic of today's show is...
New challenge. Short show.
80% done is better than perfect. And so what this... There is a whole bunch of... word salad to describe this, right? Like
word salad. Nice choice.
Paralysis by analysis and perfection paralysis, and like you can come up with all kinds of things, but essentially what it comes down to is you're never going to win a championship with a clean jersey. So stop trying to figure out how to win the championship without getting a little dirty, right? 80% done is better than perfect. Rather than holding out for going out on the field and because I don't have the perfect play drafted, or I don't have my marketing figured out for my company, or I don't have my truck stock at 100%, realize that your truck stock at 80%, you can still go out there and make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and then you just work on the last 20%.
Yeah.
Right? There's so many people out there that are waiting for perfection to happen before they actually take the first step.
Well, they're trying to get all their ducks in a row before they start.
Yeah.
That shit ain't happening. Ducks walk around willy-nilly. Like, just accept it.
I have no ducks, right? Like, I can't get my ducks in a row. I don't have ducks.
You know what I meant.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Son of a bitch.
A lot of people are like, well, I don't even have ducks. And then I got to train them how to walk in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and then like if they walk in a row once, that's not good enough. Like, you know, and this is, again, this is a downfall of the internet.
Well, yeah, cause you see things 100% completed and you're like, that's where I need to be.
Right.
Before I do anything, I got to be there.
Yeah. You're comparing your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 10.
Yeah. You didn't see what it took to get there.
Right.
Like, you know. Yeah. Even when you see those how-to videos, not to get off topic, the DIY videos, you don't see all the outtakes.
Right.
You don't see all the screw-ups. And then you start in on a project and you're like, oh, well, I had to do this and I had to do this. Well, they didn't have that.
Right.
Well, yeah, they just edited it out.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and you'll see people all the time, like I did this. I was guilty of this for a while with kids. We're not ready to have kids. We're not ready to have kids. We're not ready to have kids. Nobody's ready to have kids unless it's like your third or fourth kid and you know what to expect.
Even
but
then,
nobody's ready to have their first.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you think you're ready, you ain't ready.
Yeah. Oh, like, we're going to have a second one. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be great. And then Mitch comes out.
Well,
fuck.
That's how you know pregnancy is not nearly as painful as the women like to play it up to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're about to get crushed, but I agree 100%.
I've never watched a guy pass a kidney stone and say, I want to do that again.
Yeah.
But women do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Now, granted, a kidney stone doesn't provide you any joy and laughter later on in life.
I don't.
But who knows?
I want to say a lot of things, but I don't want to get completely crushed.
Obviously,
know?
For the Karens that listen to this show, I'm fucking kidding. Go have a Xanax and chill out.
Oh, I wasn't gonna kid. I was gonna give some hard facts.
Oh.
You know, about how women are dumb and they forget that how bad childbirth is, or that, you know.
Yeah, their mind plays tricks on them.
Yeah, or
we dads do the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Remember? Well, you've only had the one kid, but like your drive home from the hospital with your first is like, why didn't they block traffic? They should be giving me a procession. Like, I've got a baby, right?
Nah,
and then by the time
your
second or third kid, you're like 118 miles an hour down the highway. Like, yeah,
you're trying to get home so you can catch the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Babe, get your seatbelt on. The game's coming on.
Hey, I got to run in a quick trip and get a 12-pack. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
just shut the car off. It's 100 degrees. They're both in there. Yeah. Like, I'll be right back.
Yeah, it's
don't
no
even
deal.
Leave it running. You'll be fine. Just be a real fucking asshole about it.
we see all the time, not like with the questions we get emailed in, but also with our Tradewinds clients. And sometimes people don't even email questions. They just DM me questions or whatever. And they're hanging up on the minutia and they're hanging up on the details and they're hanging up on the hurdles and everything that's standing in their way. And they do that so much, they forget what they're actually pursuing. Right.
Yeah.
And this is ironically, this is the topic of tomorrow's team meeting for my team. is that when we focus on the hurdles and all the problems in our way and all the things that we don't have accomplished, the things we don't have done, the things that we feel aren't ready,
yeah,
we actually tend to start worshiping the hurdles more than the goal.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah, it turns you into a natural pessimist.
Yes.
A pessimist, yeah. Even if you aren't that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and just for example, like I've heard it 10 times. Like when guys are starting out, they're like, okay, I've got my LLC. I've got my business bank accounts. And then they get hung up on, do I get a shop? Do I not get a shop? And right. They literally for 3 months will go back and forth on, I got to find a shop.
Right.
Is the shop big enough? Is this going to work? Is my wife going to be okay with this? And literally you've let 3 months of your life just fucking disappear.
Yep.
That you could have been spending on.
Like getting out there and doing the work.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, getting customers, yeah. Right. Running some calls so that you actually have money to get, you know what I mean? They just, right. They worry about all this little bitty stuff. And I think that, like, I think some of it is youth, you know, when guys are younger, I think a lot of it is the fear of the unknown. A lot of it is they're giving themselves an excuse not to get started. Like it's usually in, you know, one of those three, four things. But
you know,
it's amazing how many obstacles we put in our own way.
Right.
Not just business, but just life in general. It's amazing. Like when you sit back and think about it, it's crazy.
Right.
Like it is crazy.
It's funny you mentioned the shop and everything else. Like if you're newer listening to this show, we'll take this time to say, if you go back and listen to episodes 1 through 9, that's where we drop all the game on how to start your own business. So go back and watch those episodes, then watch episode 36, because that's how we talk about getting tons of Google reviews. And then you can come right back to where you are.
Yeah. And then sign up for TradeWinds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sign up for TradeWinds. But
shameless plug here, please.
Ultimately, those first 9 episodes help quickly, like it's 9 hours worth of content, but still they get you up to speed on where you need to be for your business.
Yeah.
And in 9 hours, so like over the weekend, you could come out of work on a Friday, listen to those 9 hours of episodes over the weekend, take some notes. And again, remember, 80% done is better than perfect. And by Monday, you have the knowledge. You might not be ready, but you have the knowledge that it takes to start your company.
Yeah.
Right. And then the 9 episodes are organized in the 9, like they're very organized into what subjects broke up into what. And the first half of those episodes have to do with everything that you need to be doing before you start your company. And the back half of those episodes have everything to do with what you need to be doing after you start your company. Listen to them all before you start your company, but do not work on the back half until after you started your company. And we did that on purpose. We did that because 80% done is better than perfect. And that shit on the back half, you don't have to figure that out until you've actually started.
Well, and it's one of those things too, that after you've started, those make more sense.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, they're right. Like they were talking about one specific example or whatever. Oh, I understand.
Right.
What that exactly means. I understand why I need to be doing that.
Right.
It makes more sense.
And the biggest reason people think they're not ready to start their own company is because when you work for somebody else, you have a safety net. You have somebody else to make sure that you get hours.
Yeah, it's the scared conversation.
Yeah, you have somebody else to make sure that they're marketing in a way to give you work. You have somebody else to make sure your payroll is done correctly. You have somebody else that looks over your insurance and your benefits. You don't have to. You just have to agree to one or several of the plans that they offer or whatever the case may be, right?
I mean, yeah, but if like the other side of that coin is if those people are idiots and they're not doing their job, it really ain't going to matter.
Right, right,
you
right.
You could lose your job. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this.
Wait, we have that thought of if I'm working for someone else, they are going to be doing the right things and you just trust them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're at a small shop, big shops aren't really this way, but if you're at a small shop, man, those guys can have 2 and 3 guy turnover every 6 months.
Right.
And not just because the guys suck, but because the business is run poorly.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and everyone's going to feel that differently. So like you could have two employees of the same company and one has all the trust in the world and their employer and the other one can't trust them as far as they can throw. Right.
Yeah.
It just depends on your perception and what you idolize as good attributes from an employer.
I hate them all.
But
so.
I guess what I'm saying is like we in our company is 4 years old now. And in our current form.
Are you four?
Next month, August 1st.
I mean, I got to thinking about it the other day. I think we've been doing this podcast for 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Yeah, we're 2.5. So our company is 4 years old. And currently today, we offer industry-leading pay, industry-leading benefits, industry-leading PTO. Like, you can't touch it. Like, and I mean, I'm literally going through P&L stuff from last month right now, and our P&L looks like shit from last month, by the way.
What'd you do?
I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Damn. I hate when you don't know, because then I can't bust your balls.
Yeah, well, and there's a new...
I think sometimes it's intentional, like he's like, he may be completely lying to me.
No. There's a new thing that happened over this last month. We've talked about it on the show. The house we flooded.
Oh, yeah.
I have not collected for that job yet.
Gotcha.
And so I've got all
that's
this...
That's all negative.
I've got thousands of dollars coming in that I haven't... That's not in our P&L yet, but all the costs... I've already paid the labor.
Yeah.
I've already paid the material. I've already paid everything. And so that's making our P&L look like dog shit.
Yeah.
And so, but there's some other things too. There's three big problems with our P&L and I'm trying to get into them. However,
wife's got a credit card. Problem number one.
Nope. That is not it. 100% separation from church and state.
100% she does not have a credit card.
Yeah. But, our current form, we're doing amazing things. But even then, I look back at our P&L and I'm like, oh man, not to say I ever consider pulling the plug on the amazing benefits and everything else, but it's like, look at everything we have to do in order to be able to provide those benefits. Now, were we providing those benefits day one? Absolutely not. Not even close, right? Day one, it was just me. My wife was working for the company, but wasn't even on payroll. She wasn't even getting a paycheck. We were just doing owner's draws to me that were enough to run our house, right? Yeah. And then 9 months later, we hire employee number technically three, because when we hired them, my wife became employee number two immediately. And so I'm employee number one, my wife's employee number two, and then this, Spencer is employee number three.
Was Spencer three?
Yeah.
Your first real hire? He's still here.
Yeah.
Employee number punishment.
Employee number three and employee number four are still here.
I like Spencer.
So, but ultimately, like, I had to put things in motion and prepare. So, like, when I bring on plumber number two, which is Spencer, I got to be ready to have all this in place. That's not, I have to have it all in place before he comes on.
Yeah.
That is, I'm not going to get a world-class plumber unless I have world-class benefits. So I need to be ready and I need to know what world-class benefits look like, but I don't need to have them in place. I don't need to have tip-top insurance when it's just me and my wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as soon as we bring on an employee, now I got to find a way to get him insurance, right? I got to find a way to get him. And we ran for, I want to say we ran for a year with employees before we ever added retirement. Austin, you were here for our retirement meeting, weren't you?
I think there was the full-fledged benefits when I started.
I was going to say, I don't think it was a full year.
I can't remember.
I remember us having some conversations about IRAs.
The retirement benefits meeting happened in the banquet room at Sandy's restaurant. And my dad's our benefits coordinator.
That was before you.
Okay.
Yeah. I love your dad.
So that would have been just before you then.
So I was like Sandy's dining room when I first started, just like not the banquet room, but just the.
Yeah. That would have been just before you started. Mm. But like I had a team of plumbers before we even offered retirement.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to have all that in order. You just have to, like, we knew we were going to get there, but the business had to grow to a certain point. And so, I'm making promises to my guys and letting them know, like, we will have retirement. It's coming. We just got to get there. And we get there together, right? Everybody puts in all their hard work and we'll get there.
Yeah. That's how you know you have good guys, too. I mean, the amount of faith that they have to have to believe in that, okay, this guy said he's going to do it. And, he, like, I believe he's going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I am a super pessimist. I'd have been like, yeah, okay, buddy, whatever. You know? It was just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with, like, so if self, we've talked about this before on the show, self-confidence comes from making promises to yourself and then following through and keeping those promises to yourself. If I promise to myself, I'm going to go on a 1 mile walk every night this week and I miss Saturday night, my self-confidence is now shit because I made a promise to myself and I wavered.
Have you even listened to my Monday motivationals on repeat?
No.
Are you sure? But I think I talked about that last week.
Employee confidence comes from making promises to your employees and then following through with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Builds trust.
Don't overpromise. Don't underdeliver. Be authentic. Be real. Be transparent. Be candid.
Yeah.
And if you have a deadline, like if you tell them, like, it's my goal to have benefits by X day.
Stick to it, dude.
Stick to it. If you can't stick to it.
Tell them why.
Don't wait until the day of to tell them when you knew 2 months before. Right?
Yeah.
If you get some, if you do new construction and you get some big vendor of yours that doesn't pay you, the day they don't pay you, you need to be going to your guys and you need to be going, I was waiting on their check to be able to get benefits set up and they're not paying me. And so I'm just being transparent with you guys that benefits might have to hold off until I get paid from this contractor. I was going to use their check to buy benefits, right? Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That level of transparency and that level of honesty will buy you so much credibility. It's unbelievable. And when you have a track record of doing that exact thing over and over and over, your guys will run through walls for you, right?
Well, it's authenticity. It's the same when it comes to customers, right?
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. When you're authentic, whether it be with your employees with you, you with your customers, people you know at church, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
When you're an authentic person and I know this is going to be a big shock to everyone. When you do what you say you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
people believe you.
When you do it over and over and over, especially.
Yeah. Like, be a man of principle or woman of principle. Like, follow up with what you, like, do with what you say you're going to do. It's not that hard.
And on the flip side, also, as a business owner or somebody who's managing people, be very transparent about your failures, too. So I've watched business owners make a promise to their team. We will do 1 million this year, 2 million or whatever. And then they don't say anything else. And then at the end of the year, it's like, well, we did 700,000. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They came short of the goal. Well, now your team doesn't trust you because the last time you talked about that specific thing, it was we will. And now it's like, well, we didn't. Right. And so that's their perception of you in that area is you make promises, but you don't deliver. Now, the flip side is if I make a promise to my team, like, oh, we're going to do 1 million this year or whatever the case may be, maybe Q1, I give them an update.
Yeah.
Hey, the goal was 1 million. We're currently at 230,000. So we're behind goal.
Yeah. We'd need to be 20,000 short right now.
Yeah, we need to be at 250 to be on goal, right?
Yeah. On pace.
That's a whole different conversation than holding that for another 9 months and then surprising them at the end that we didn't get there, right?
Yeah. And that's one of those things that, like, we've talked about it before with the Tradewinds guys and on the podcast about being transparent with your crew. Like, hey, okay, this is where we're at this month.
Yep.
This is what happened last month. This is why we ran out of funds, but like, this is why we couldn't provide those benefits. Like you were just saying, like 100% transparency. And you know, I shouldn't say 100%, but if you're transparent with what's actually going on,
right?
Like, it's easier for them to not just believe and trust you, but to get on board and everyone be rowing in the same direction.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, Austin sees this all the time. Like, I do P&L meetings with my guys. I go over the profit and loss statement. We're getting ready to have one of the shittiest P&L meetings ever. And it's not shitty because the numbers are shitty. Like, that's part of it. But the other shitty part of it is just we got bad info this month. Like, we've never done a job and not been paid for it, but yet paid all of our costs. And so now there's revenue that's missing from this P&L. And you put that revenue back on there, all the costs are already paid. So that revenue is pure profit.
What's the delay on the collecting revenue?
This is the house that we flooded.
Gotcha. So I imagine it's probably very...
Until the house is
way
it was when they got there, you say.
The value of the work that we did on the house that we flooded was about 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a rule myself personally, and this is just basically like, nobody told me this. This is just me treating myself as a consumer. If I had a contractor come into my house and charge me 10 grand for repairs and then flood my house in the process, I'll be damned if I'm paying his bill until my house is back in order.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I immediately, like the day this all happened, I told the customer, we're not collecting a dime from you until your house is back into the condition it was before we arrived or better.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And we're going to put it back better. She's going to get new flooring. She's getting new ceiling tiles, like all kinds of shit. Right. And so we, like, this is the first time in our company's history where we have a $10,000 job that didn't pay up the day the work was done. I've got all the costs associated with that. I've paid all my labor. I've paid all the material. And it was a lot of material on this job, like a lot. It was really expensive equipment that we put in. And so, like, now we're lopsided. My revenue is $10,000 short, but all the costs are there. Mm-hmm. And so my net profit is $10,000 less than what it should be, right? In addition to that, we've got two guys where their material usage was outrageous last month.
And Side jobs.
I don't know why yet.
Side job.
Never in our company's history have I discovered theft. I don't expect to discover theft. But at this point, I'm early enough in it where it's either a funny alignment of the stars. Like, every once in a while, what we've run into before is
like, you spend all that money right before the end of the month, and then the next month is the collections going on. Yeah.
So like, happens. So like, maybe my guy had higher material in April, but it was towards the end of April, and he bought the material. We recorded everything in April, and April looked amazing. And then May rolls around, and all of a sudden, a majority of April's material costs actually land in May.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we got to figure out.
That's realistic. Yeah. It happens.
And so we've got that going on as well. Also, there was a paid holiday in May. And so everybody gets a paid day, even though nobody brought in revenue that day.
Yeah, but it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but there's only 20 to 23 business days in each individual month. So every one paid holiday makes a massive difference.
Yeah.
So,
but you almost have one every month now.
Close. I mean, you're...
January is one of them.
You got January, you got May, you got July,
you got
August, and then November, December.
Yeah.
And then...
So half of the year.
We actually do two additional. We do the day after Thanksgiving, so November actually has two paid holidays in it.
Yeah.
We do the day of Thanksgiving and the day after, and then I give all of my guys a floating holiday. And the floating holiday must be used in conjunction with another holiday, but it's an extra paid day.
And don't you give them their birthday too?
No.
Oh, you don't do that?
No. I've got guys wanting their birthday off, and I'm like, dude,
grow up.
Nobody is childish enough.
Grow up.
Yeah. Like, birthdays are important when you're 8. They're not important when you're 28 and 38 and 48 and 58.
21's the last one.
Right.
After that, you're old.
Right. And 21 still pisses you off because, like, at 18, you can go off and die for your country, but you can't have a beer until 21. That's kind
of
dumb.
I don't know. I drank a lot of beer when I was 18.
I totally drank a lot of beer.
I just celebrate my birthday after work.
After work.
I don't even celebrate my birthday. Like, it's literally just another day. I mean, yeah, cool. Thanks, kids. Happy birthday. Cool. Maybe we'll go out to eat or something. But, like, we in our house, birthdays are no big deal.
Well, birthdays are a big... I don't want to get off topic. Layla's 11. So her birthday's a big deal.
Yeah.
Kids
are different.
Well, she thinks everyone's birthday's a big deal then.
Yeah.
You know, because in her mind's eye, it is.
Yeah.
You know, so she makes like giant posters, hangs them up in the hat. Like, it's just like,
we do silly stuff like that. We'll hang streamers over the kids' doors. So when they wake up in the morning, they have to walk through streamers to get out of the room. And like, weird stuff like that. But ultimately, like, your birthday is no different than any other day of the year. So like, there's no reason to celebrate that. Like, hey, I lived another year.
Half of the people listening are like, fuck Mitch.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
It's my fucking birthday.
Right. Now,
fucking Grant Styles. I don't know if you remember Grant Styles.
Yeah.
I know you remember Blake
Styles' brother.
Yeah.
Yep.
So him and Joey were friends growing up. And so, like, Grant always celebrated his half birthday. So like 6 months, he was like, it's my half birthday. And then he always had a birthday week.
Yeah.
Like, it's my birthday week. Like, dude, you don't get a week. There's like, you get a fucking day.
There's a ditch on both sides. Like, I mean, there's the kind of like, normally as an adult, like if you do birthday, it's like a birthday lunch or dinner. And you kind of do it like in between work or after work or before work.
Right.
But there's people that I used to work with that like they needed like a whole week off.
Right.
Like he was saying,
I want my day off and I want the day after off. And all. It's like, dude, no. Like,
sometimes I do need the day after off for hangovers, you know?
Well, like, so 4th of July is coming up. 4th of July is on a Thursday this year.
Oh, nice.
I've given all of my guys the option. Do you want to work the 4th and have the 5th off paid? Or do you want to have the 4th off paid and work the 5th?
See?
And like, most of my guys, if nobody's given me conclusive info yet, but if I had to guess, most of my guys are going to work the 4th and take the 5th off.
Oh yeah.
Like, see, if I was, and I'm not telling you what to do, I'm no judgment. Like, if it was me, I would say, guys, the 4th, we're off, it's paid. The 5th, you're off if you want to be off, but it's not paid.
Yeah. As,
you know what I mean? Like, usually I would view things that way. Like, Christmas is the same way, because Christmas always falls on a weird day, and you're, you know. But, you know, you get the one paid, the other one we're off, but I'm not paying you.
So the flip side to that is, as a business owner who has to, you know, my number one duty is to make sure the company is thriving and healthy so that it continue to be there for the community and the employees, right? And so the flip side to that is, months with two paid holidays in them wreck a business's P&L.
Yeah.
Absolutely wreck them, right? And so you're literally...
Well, not if it's a... I'm not saying... How do I say this? You give them the choice.
I understand.
That doesn't mean they're all going to take it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
But here's the thing.
And it's not a paid day off, so you're not money out of pocket. So your revenue may be down.
Exactly.
But your material prices are going to be down too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
it's a softer hit than an additional paid holiday.
How does a business produce profit?
They do jobs.
They make enough sales to offset their expenses.
Don't patronize me.
Right?
Yes, I know.
Right. So if you're carving, like when a business or when a working month only has 20 to 23 days in it, and you're going to carve out 10% of those days, 2 days. Well, now your top line revenue is going to be down 10%.
Yeah, but you can't automatically assume everyone's going to take that day off.
Right.
You're not paying everyone for that day. You're paying no one for that day if they take that day off.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just assume that, okay, that's another paid holiday, because that's not what it is.
Right. I heard our garage door just
open. Say it's 5%. I'll give you 5%.
I heard our garage door just open, and I think it's Mason. So rather than getting interrupted, I'm going to text him real fast.
Why? You know, he may not have even come up here.
No, but he, like when he realizes mom's not home and all that, he's going to have a whole bunch of questions. So
he is a weird kid.
Yeah. He's very concerned about where we are at all times.
Why do you think that is? Not to get completely off topic here, but do you think he has some insecurity issues?
No, I think we're just that close.
Really?
Yep.
That sounds like a question dodge.
Like, I think it depends on siblings, because me and my sister were opposite. Like, I'm going to sound like a total, like, just
Are you
sad.
A huge douche?
No.
You sound like a douche?
I'm going to sound like a sad kid. Like, if we ever lost my mom in the grocery store when we were kids, I would be crying and my sister would be like, let's go find her.
Yeah.
Like, we were opposites, where I'm like, I needed to know where she was. And my sister was like,
I would say that surprises me, but it doesn't.
I mean,
not
again,
1 minute, dude. I love
like
you, but it's
7 years
not...
old. I'm like 31 now. So it's like,
if you lose Caitlin in the store, do you cry?
Oh, my wife.
Yeah.
Well, our situation's different.
Where are you?
Well, our situation's different because it's like, she'll sometimes like have seizures in the store.
Yeah.
So every long once in a while, I'll get a call that's not her number. And it's like, maybe a store representative that's like, hey, like, your wife's here. You know, she may have had a seizure, so it's a little bit different.
But if you're there, I'm just saying, she's one aisle over. Don't panic.
Well, yeah, I don't panic then. Just like, we'll just kind of
be that's what I meant.
Close,
I didn't mean like she's at the store without you. I meant you guys are there at the store together.
Yeah, they're
she wanders
together,
off to get some dip, and you're like,
And the thing is, too, like, I mean, obviously, we've been married for 3 years now, so I'm so in tune to where, like, her behavior before she has a seizure. It's almost like I've developed this like
sort of like Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
I don't know if that makes sense. We're just like, dun, you can dun, tell. Dun.
What was the name of that movie? Was it Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Was it?
Yep.
That was a good movie.
I see
dead It was people. Weird.
I see dead people.
But it was good.
Yeah. That was a cool movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was good.
If you, you're, it'll never be better than your first time watching it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, no,
you're like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. It's the best movie ever.
Freaking out.
So other areas
are
where.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. You sure?
So for those that don't know, my son is working with our plumbing company over the summer.
Oh, it's already 3 o'clock.
He's working 3 days a week for us. And like, let me just share some business game for you.
What are you paying him?
We have a rule in our company that nobody works here for less than $15 an hour. So he's getting paid $15 an hour.
That's probably realistic for him.
Yeah. Other things that happen when you own a business and your own child wants to work in that business, don't quote me on the exact amount. It's somewhere in the upper 14,000s, but essentially you can pay your own child up to $15,000 tax free every year. And so they actually
have. Is that if they're under 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Under 18. They actually have to work in the company. You have to be able to document what they're doing. You can't just write a check to your kid for, I want to say it's like $14,750 or like talk to your tax professional. I'm not even going to try to dive into what the exact number is, but it's in the upper 14,000s. But they actually have to be working. You can't just write a check to your kid at the end of the year and burn 14 grand in profit. And try to say, oh, my kid worked for me and like lie about it, right?
No, you need to be able
to document.
I mean, if you're going to fake it, like write a check every week for X amount of hours, like be smart about it.
Let's be real. Like what they do and how you pay them for what they do can be mildly unrealistic. Like I've watched people pay their five-year-olds 15 grand a year for modeling because their five-year-old is in their businesses.
Yeah.
Facebook photos or whatever the case may be.
It's illegal.
Right.
It's right. Illegal.
So, and it, keep in mind, the system was created by corrupt individuals. And so you don't, I'm not suggesting you be corrupt to work the system. I'm just saying.
Work the system.
You have to work the system that's laid out. We all have the exact same system to work within. You have to learn how to work the system.
Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation, but, oh, well, you're a tax dodger for this and you're a tax dodger for that. Like, no, They're getting 85 cents of every dollar I ever made. It's my job to work to the limits of the law that they put in place.
Well,
like,
and
I owe it to myself, the business, the guys I'm paying to do everything I can.
To reduce profit.
To reduce tax liability.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he's not working. He's like, he's in there. He's grinding.
Oh, yeah. He's working. He's actually working. Yeah.
First day on the job, first fucking job, he shattered a toilet.
Yep. That says Smedley all over it.
Right?
Yeah.
At least he got it out on his first day. It wasn't like he built up some like confidence and then shattered a toilet.
Well, he's only on day four now. So let's not say like he got it all out on his first day.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
I knew. I was like, ah.
Yep. So essentially though, like Mason's working for the company this year. I've given the guys very little guidance on how to handle the owner's kid. And mainly it's like, if he's out of line, correct him.
Yeah.
If somebody needs to grab the turd off the ground, have him glove up and grab the turd. Like no special treatment.
No.
Because he's the owner's kid.
To be honest, the conversation probably was, hey guys, I know you're going to be hard on him because he's the owner's kid. Like, just try to treat him regular. Like, that's probably, dude, I'm telling you right now.
There's been no conversation.
I know. I'm giving you some advice.
Yeah.
When fucking Harvey had his kid, who's now 18, like, was going on jobs and stuff and this and that, I treated him like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Just like they used to treat us when we were on jobs.
Treat him like a new guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the kid.
FNG.
Oh, man. I mean, I was crushing that kid.
Literally the only instruction I've given, like, he teaches him
a lot of stuff about boobs. I mean, just, he was like 14.
Oh, no, he'll get
and
that
I
on
am
his own.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, I am just. Way too much information into this kid.
Literally, the only instruction I've given the guys is like he's supposed to be taking his debit card with him. He has his own debit card because he has his own bank account. I've given the guys the instruction of like if he happens to forget his debit card, just buy him lunch and I'll Venmo you what I owe you. Right? That's literally as far as the instructions have gone.
Yeah.
And so they're making him carry all the heavy shit. They're making him.
It's good for him.
Do all, yeah, everything.
That's
right?
Good for him. Yeah.
And so that's great. He's actually working with one of our guys today. And that's what I had to stop and text was I heard a garage door open and I thought maybe my son was coming home from work, but he wasn't.
Yeah. I think you were hearing things. I didn't hear shit.
No, the garage door definitely opened.
That was probably Grant.
What you didn't hear was my wife's car fire up, which is what usually happens. When all that goes on.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
Are we still talking 80-20 or 80-20? We have completely shot off of.
So
everyone says it's me. Like it's my fault usually.
We're everywhere.
we're on the very rim of it.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Literally, with this show, we usually pregame a little bit before these shows. This show, we didn't. And the main reason why, like, this show was going to be a little bit rambly.
I like it.
The reason why, this show's 80% done. I would take this show over a perfect show any day of the week.
Man, I love you, but you are such a dad. Like, your dad jokes and your dad, you are Clark W. Griswold. We all know it.
So,
with pride.
So, you want to hear some more funny stories? My guys, not too many people know this yet. You know this. So Sunday,
I'm intrigued and you're telling me I know it. Okay. Yeah. What?
So Sunday, this last Sunday, the dealership that we bought our boat from was throwing on this big event at the lake, a big tie up event.
Did I see you Saturday then on the lake?
Yeah. You saw me up, Saturday.
Okay.
Yep.
This is the first time I'd seen Mitch a little drunk in a while. He was...
Yeah, I was into
it. He was primed. Yep. He was lubricated.
So, okay, let's back up. Let's stop Sunday for a second.
I wanted to come and get on the boat with you for a while, but man, like I was trying to get out of there at the time. I'm like, Joe, I got it.
That water was rough too. It was probably not good fishing.
Well, I think it rained 2 days. We shouldn't have gone. But so, I had to get out of the fucking house.
So we get on the water. And the water's rough. And so we figure we're going to go anchor out and just party for a little while before we go do water sports.
You're talking about on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Saturday.
Saturday. Okay.
And so, cause we got out there later Saturday. So we get out there and my son wants to surf from the marina over to where we're going to go anchor up.
Where do you anchor up? Down by the dam or do you go over to the beach? Okay. Just one cove over.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, we're talking a quarter mile. Right. It's not very far.
It's not far. It's not far.
But you can do a lot on a surfboard in a quarter mile because you're only going 11 miles an hour.
Yeah. Joey and I can't figure it out. Like every time we see them guys go by, I'm like, dude, that doesn't look fun. Like they're moving the speed of smell.
It's more fun than you think it is.
It's so slow.
Yeah, it's slow.
It's so slow.
Yeah. You're still doing
no judgment.
A lot.
It just looks really slow.
Yeah. So you know how 15-year-olds are. Sometimes 15-year-olds can be a little mouthy. They get into a mood. And all of a sudden, they think it's okay to backtalk their mom and dad and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's when you get slapped in the mouth.
Yeah. So, my son gets up on the wakeboard, and he ends up, like, going off the back of the... It's choppy as shit, and so...
It was rough on Saturday.
Yeah, he ends up going off the back of the wave. You just lose your momentum, and you...
Yeah.
It's called falling off the wave, but you don't really fall. You just disappear off the back of the wave.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, and there's nothing pushing you anymore, so you just sink.
And so I circle around and I go get him, and he, instead of like admitting it's his fault, he's like trying to tell me that I'm not driving the boat right, and I didn't turn around to get him right, and everything else.
Who's that sound like?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, Apple doesn't fall far.
Yeah, that's
right?
Tough, man. that's tough.
So then I warn him, I'm like, you better lock your mouth up like that, because we're not going to do that today. Well, then he falls off the back of the wave again. And he's got more words for me and critiquing all this shit.
I'd have jumped out there and drowned his little ass.
So I put the boat in neutral right next to him, and he's drifting right towards the back platform. And I go, like, kind of storming off the back of the boat. And then I, like, we were 15 years into being parents, and we don't parent our kids when we're frustrated. However, mild frustration we'll use as motivation, right?
Oh, dude, I...
And so, like, I'm not going to go off there.
That is not a rule I use.
Yeah, yeah. so I go...
You get what you get.
Yeah,
you get what you got.
I go storming up over. So the back of our boat, it's got a seat. It's got the motor deck.
Yeah.
And then it's got a blower deck.
Yeah.
And then it's got a swim deck. And then it's the water, right?
Yeah.
So I go...
most of them are now.
Yeah, so I go storming up over the seat. I slip and fall on the motor deck.
Ah!
And I land with my ass square on the blower deck and slide right off the blower deck onto the swim deck. And then...
This is a great story.
And then I slide right off the swim deck and into the water.
Oh, shit. You're so, full bitch.
So here comes Dad, all charged up, ready to course correct his kid. And then I'm in the water.
I'm sorry. Oh. So good, dude. I'm gonna fuck you up. Oh, shit. I'll blow the water.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
That's it's so good, like, dude. Oh, my God.
He's going to learn the way of Dad. You can't talk to Dad that way.
I'm going to fuck this boy up. I'm not drowning.
I pop up out of the water. And I, like, the water hit me just, like, I wasn't planning on falling in the water.
No,
so the water,
you had no life jacket on.
No life jacket.
You're probably choking.
Yes, exactly. Took lake water straight up the nose, and I don't know if this is the same way for everybody. I'm allergic to lake water, as I've learned. And so when water hits my nose, it like burns hard. And it's just because my body hates water, right? Hates lake water.
It's so weird.
So now I come up out of the water.
The urine, but
yeah,
continue.
I come up out of the water. My nose is burning. And the look in his eye was like, Dad might kill me right now.
Yeah, and even though it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, and then I look in the boat, and my wife is like, she had to turn around.
Like, she's laughing.
She's like, I can't laugh at this one, you know?
See, that's the difference between Janine and I, because she'd have been like, you fucking dumbass, and she would have been laughing right in my face.
So I like pull back up on the swim deck, and I do my course correction and talking to him and everything else. So then...
Oh, dude, that's so good, man.
He grabs the rope to get back up on the surfboard again, and... He mouthed off again before I even hit the throttle.
Ooh.
And so there's all this slack in the rope and everything.
Did you yank his arm out of the socket?
I just floored it. I didn't even wait. I just floored it. The rope leaves his hand and he's like, I'm done. I'm like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you were going to be done whether you admitted it or not. So I'm glad you realized on the first attempt.
Get out of the damn water.
Yeah.
What was Grant doing?
He was just like, see, every time Mason comes, it's just bad. Yeah. If you have two boys that are 2 years apart,
that
they do
makes 100% sense that he would say that.
So
he's a wild card. Of the
whole. Yeah, he is a wild card.
But then by the end of it, like, Mason kind of comes to his senses and he realizes he's being a little jerk
and everything else,
right?
Sorry, man. Yeah.
So then we go out there Sunday. And
did you take everyone? You told me you were going to take everyone.
It's just me and Mason, and then Danielle ended up coming later.
Okay.
So
Grant didn't want to go?
Didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So,
I think I need to start taking Grant fishing with me.
Maybe.
He would love it. He would love it.
And he'd probably go. Like, yeah.
Dude, it's...
Grant's, so if you have boys, when your boys hit like 11 to 12 and 13, they're in this zone where they never want to leave the house. It doesn't matter. You could be going to the Indy race.
Layla does the same.
And he's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah, Layla's the same
way. They're just in this homebody mode. But anyway, so Mason and I get out to this tie-up event. It's a big event, a lot of boats. A
lot of drunk dipshits, I'm sure.
No.
It was classy?
Yep, okay. Yep, very classy.
All right.
So, and,
I'm surprised. I thought it'd be a bunch of meatheads drinking. And
no, you could demo boats. You could demo surfboards, wakeboards. You could demo foil boards.
Did you try a couple surfboards?
We're gonna get into why I didn't in a minute.
It was good. It was probably pretty rough out there.
So we get out there at 10:30 in the morning and the water is like glass. And I told Mason, I'm like, we are not going over and tying up with this event and wasting this smooth of water.
Yeah. Get out there and go.
Yeah. We're going to go enjoy some water sports, and especially wakeboarding, because you can only wakeboard when it's smooth-ish.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to enjoy some wakeboarding before we go tie up. And Mason's like, well, I don't want to wakeboard, so this is all you. And I'm like, cool. So I put on the wakeboard. He guns it. I get up, warming up. Doing just some little stuff to warm my feet up and my legs up and everything else. I go hit the wave, jump wake to wake. Cool. I go back and I go hit the wave again to jump wake to wake. And I land, but then somehow after, I don't even know what happened. Somehow after I landed.
Did you land a little sideways or something?
Not sure. But I landed in a way. I jumped farther than I anticipated. I'll say this. I did not land on the downhill side of the wave. I landed out in the flats.
It's tough when you can't judge your landing.
And the board hit the water in a way, and my foot ripped out of the binding. And wakeboard bindings are really tight.
Yeah,
and
they have to be.
My foot to come out of the binding and not, the binding never came undone.
That's interesting.
And so I'm laying in the water.
Is it a cheap board or is it nice?
It's nice.
Okay.
I'm under the, like, it took me a long time to find the surface. I went into the water so hard, I got disoriented. Yeah. And I didn't know which way was up.
Yeah.
And so I'm swimming and I realized very quickly it's getting colder. I'm like, I'm swimming the wrong way.
First off, when you crash and you have a life jacket on, you don't swim.
Right. Right.
You just do this.
Instinct.
And it just buoys you to the surface.
Well, I didn't realize.
Which is fighting the life jacket. Well, I want to die.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize how hard and deep I crashed. Yeah. Right.
And when you're up like that and you hit hard, like, it'll push your fat ass down there.
Well, and it may have rung my bell a little bit because I don't remember a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
And so that next hurts. Thing I know, I realize the water's getting colder. And so I'm like, well, fuck, I'll just wait. And so I stop fighting it and I just wait and I go to the surface.
Yeah. Takes 2 seconds.
And I give Mason a thumbs up because, yes, I'm in massive pain, but
yeah, you gotta make sure you're breathing. Yeah.
And so Mason comes around and he was like, that's the hardest fall I've ever seen you take. Get out of the water. And I'm like, hold on. I don't know what hurts yet. Like, yeah. I'm still figuring all this out. Yeah. And so then I realize my foot's not in the binding anymore. And I'm like, that ain't cool because I know the position my foot must have been in to get out of the binding. And now my fart starts hurting and everything else. And so I'm like, and Mason's like, dude, get out. And I'm like, hold on. As much as I know about feet and ankle injuries, this is only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And so if I want to get any more riding in, now is the time. And I'm like, let me catch my breath. Let me make sure like nothing's massively broken.
I would have at least pulled up onto the swim deck and been like, all right, catch my breath here.
I sat on the swim deck for a second.
And chug a beer.
No beers. This was 10:40 in the morning. So I understand.
I don't see the problem.
I understand.
He's not half retired yet, Dave.
Dude, fuck off. I've seen Mitch chug a beer at like 8:30 in the morning before. So let's not.
You can't drink all day if you don't start early.
That's right.
But this was not a drink all day event. And so I get my bearings and everything else and Mason's all skeptical and I'm like, just go. And so it pulls me up. I get 4 or 5 more rides in, a whole bunch of more wake-to-wake jumps, a couple more crashes. But these crashes were just because I was like favoring my left foot.
Yeah.
And so then we go off and go out of the tie-up. We have a fun day and everything else. Well, as the day sets on, my foot gets crazy worse and crazy worse and crazy worse. I can't even put any weight on it. By Monday night, I'm literally in tears in my kitchen. And my wife's like, are you crying? And I'm like, yeah. and I'm like,
just walk over to you, look at you in the eye and go, you bitch.
Well, so the boys, like, we got all home and then the boys like go inside. And now the boys are gone and it's just me and my wife. Something like internally, I was like holding all this in and like trying to be a dad, like a tough dad.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until literally the tears rolled down my cheek the moment the basement door closed. And it was like, now that it's just me and Danielle, like it's okay to let everything loose. And so
I love you, man. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the situation. Yeah. Like it's great.
So they had been telling me all night long, like you're going to go to the hospital when we get home. Cause I'm literally crawling from boat to boat on these things. I can't put any weight on my foot.
Why didn't you just stay in your boat?
Well, as you're moving,
I want to talk to people and everything else, chest down.
And so
your leg's broke.
Well,
networking versus not working.
Well, yeah,
that is gold.
Well, then you still got to go get the truck and you still got to load the boat up and all this shit. Right.
Yeah.
And so, we get home. Danielle's never seen me cry in pain before. And it was weird because it wasn't an emotional cry. It was like uncontrollable tears coming down my face because my foot hurt so bad.
I've never been in that much pain.
Yeah. I've
been blacked out because I hurt so bad and
I would have preferred to be blacked out, to be honest with you. Like this was the most excruciating pain I've ever had. And so, and for those that don't know, Danielle, and it's legal here, but Danielle and I do gummies before we go to bed. It helps us sleep. So we've already popped a gummy like 2 minutes prior to this. And Danielle's like, we need to go to the hospital now. I've never seen you cry in pain. We're going. And I'm like, listen here, lady.
Yeah.
We are not, right now we're in a condition to go to the hospital, but in 30 to 45 minutes, we are not in a condition to be at a hospital.
Yeah. And you can't be like sitting there looking at the doctor going, hey, by the way,
my
weed just hit and I'm fucked up.
And so I told Danielle, we'll just revisit this in the morning.
You got any Doritos, doc?
So she doesn't let this go. She takes me to the hospital in the morning and we go get checked out. No fractures. And that basically the hospital's like, we don't know exactly what happened. There's a lot of damage in there. No broken bones. But we're pretty sure you dislocated your ankle on the way out. And then it relocated itself at some point very soon after that. But x-rays don't show like
just puts his ankle,
soft tissue damage.
He just puts his ankle up out of the water and it's just like a fucking
yeah. No, I can still move it and everything. It wasn't like floppy.
Well,
and it wasn't,
like, well, ankles are like that. Like you can, yeah. All those ligaments are so tight and yeah. Everything. You could still like move it even if it's out of place.
Yeah. So what's funny though is they did say like, what about the damage on the top of your foot? There's old damage. And they referenced when I crashed on the foil board. They didn't know this, but I crashed on the foil board and cracked the top of my foot on the board. And then they referenced when I rolled my ankle shooting that big ass deer in my backyard. And I'm like, wow, you guys can see a lot.
Never seen a guy hurt himself walking out of his front door.
Oh, my ankle. Oh, shit. I was not walking, but
you were jogging.
I was
lightly.
Running. But anyway,
I love you, man. You've been getting hurt a lot lately in non like serious events.
Everyone keeps telling me I need to hang up wakeboarding. And it's like, no, we don't give this shit up just because it's hard. Like,
who said you should give it up?
Oh, there's. That I've had people like, so I commented or I made a post about finally getting a little bit of flight on the foil board. And there were people like, I was telling people like, we don't, you know, I made a comment in the, or made in my post. I'm like, this is me teaching our boys that we don't give up as soon as shit gets hard or it's more difficult than we thought.
Yeah.
And some, all these victims, they're like, or maybe it's you giving up before you get seriously injured.
Maybe you should let me live my life, you douche.
Like, risk is part of the reward, right?
I don't understand what everyone's problem is with, like, they feel like they have to protect everyone else from getting hurt.
Right.
Like, that doesn't create winners. That doesn't, mm-hmm. like, you don't get adrenaline rush and excitement from sitting around on your fucking couch all night. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And, get out there.
And
experience
so,
some shit. Come on.
I'm like, literally... I mean, I can imagine it would be very difficult to seriously injure yourself wakeboarding. Now, I know everybody has a different definition of seriously injured.
I think you could pop an ACL.
You could
or an MCL.
You could damage
sure.
a knee. You could damage an ankle.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you could rip a knee up pretty good, probably.
I don't think you're going to cut yourself. If you do, it would be a rare anomaly. Yeah. It's possible if you're doing tricks and trying to go backside stuff, it's possible you could get concussed. Right.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Well, let's be honest. A 40-year-old that's trying to go on a mountain bike trail could get way worse injured than me on a wakeboard.
Dude, I could get hurt worse than that falling out of the tree stand.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, come on.
And so, like, I'm not going to live in fear and avoid doing this. Yeah. It's still fun. It's just, I got to...
I could catch a ricochet shooting hardened steel in my backyard, too. That doesn't mean I'm not going to do it.
Right. I got to be a little bit more careful with how I'm doing it, right?
Yeah, you probably...
Ultimately...
Let's be honest. You probably should... Like, you've been going every 3 days a week.
Yeah.
4 days a week. Maybe you should, like, take a few days off.
Dude, I think Mason had the best advice ever.
Heal up a little bit and then get back after it.
We were joking around about it that night, still on the water. And where this joke came from was, like, as the water calmed down, everybody went surfing. And we brought a whole bunch of people on. Our boat was among the, our boat was literally the biggest boat in this tie-up. And everybody wants to surf behind a big boat because it throws the big wave. And so everybody like put their boats on the dock and everybody piled in our boat. And we had like a big surf party on our boat at the end of this thing.
Yeah. Big circle jerk. Got it.
And everybody was having fun. And I was telling my wife, like, my ankle hurts, but I could probably get up on a surfboard. Like, let's make this happen. And she's putting the kibosh on it. And she's saying no. Well, then Mason chimes up and he was like, Dad, if you would just do better, you'd stop getting hurt.
And dude, I'm he's 100% right.
You're not wrong. Like, just do better.
If you
got
just
it.
Do better. I'd have looked right at him in the eye and been like, you're 100% right, and then slapped the shit out of him. Like, you're right, son.
So, pow! We did this other thing. This is not a legal activity. And so this took place, like, we actually got the boats out of the water. We drove them to Mexico, and we did this in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
But we did it. So these surf boats, they can actually, you can choose which side of the boat the big wave is on. You can surf left or surf right.
Yeah.
And so we did this thing. Again, this was in Mexico. Where we put two boats about 20 feet apart from each other, side by side. And one of them is set, the boat on the left is set for surf right, and the boat on the right is set for surf left. So the waves actually connect and collide with each other.
Yes, you can go from one wave to the other.
If you get close enough, you can transfer from one wave to the other. But ultimately, you have two surfers that are working within hand's reach of each other, right?
Why is that illegal?
Because boats in motion are not allowed to be within 50 feet of each other. And we were definitely within 50 feet of each other.
Does someone have a fucking tape measure?
Water patrol.
First off, when
Water Patrol's boat won't fit between mine and the other boat, we're within 50 feet of each other.
What I don't understand is, like half of that's bullshit. Have you been on Blue Springs Lake when it's busy?
Yeah.
Dude, boats are passing at like fucking 20 feet.
Yeah, they're getting tickets too.
Yeah, they probably are.
We knew this was not a legal activity, and so that's A, why we went to Mexico, but B, why we waited for Water Patrol to leave the marina before we started it.
Yeah.
But party wave was pretty cool. You call that a party wave when you can
I inferred.
So that was pretty fun. But ultimately, to kind of circle back to where we started here with the 80% done is better than perfect.
First off, we're over the 80% 20. This episode is kinda over.
I mean, we're off the rails a little bit, but kind of like, let's be honest. I could have said I'm not ready to buy a wake boat yet because I don't have all the money to pay cash for it. And like, there are some things where it's actually more cost effective to finance it than it is to pay cash for it, right?
This is not one of those, but yes.
It can be, depending on how much you're, like, I don't want to be upside down in the boat. I want to make sure I'm putting enough down where I'm never upside down in it. But at the rate you're getting, which, by the way, I still need to get you the rate.
Doesn't matter. They sold that car.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Damn.
They probably
sold it a month prior and they're leaving it on their website just for the attention.
Well, he told me they were selling it or someone was there looking at it right now. And then he...
Classic.
Yeah. So I thought...
Somebody's here looking at it right now a month ago.
So I thought it was bullshit, right? And I'm like, okay, well, if he doesn't buy it, let me know, blah, blah. And so he texts me later, like an hour later. He's like, hey, yeah, that guy's going to buy the boat. So then I go online today.
The car.
That's what I meant. Sorry. And so I go on there today and it was gone. It was off. Car sold. I was like, oh, fuck.
But like, you could say, I'm not ready to buy a house. Well, if you're 80% of the way there, buy the fucking house. You could say, I'm not ready to start your business. If you're 80% of the way there, start the business. You could say, I'm not ready to have a kid. If you're 80% of the way there, have the kid.
Well, this is the employee talk too. Well, my employee doesn't do it exactly how I do it. Does he do it 80%?
Right.
Don't fire him.
Right. Yeah.
Like, 80, no one's going to do it exactly like you do it.
The
80% rule works there too.
That's hitting another rule. That's the 80-20 rule, which means like 80% of your sales come from 20% of your employees, or 80% of your problems come from 20% of your employees, or 80% of your problems come from the bottom 20% of your customers, or whatever the case may be, right? And guys will run that play, like...
They'll run it too hard.
Yeah, if 80% of your problems come from 20% of your employees, guys naturally think, well, I'm going to fire the bottom 20%. That's cool.
You're going to have another 20%.
However, yeah, what happens when you fire the bottom 20% is you now have a new bottom 20%.
Yeah.
And if you keep firing the bottom 20%, you have no guys left. So you still have to figure out a way to make it happen, even though there's only 80% there.
Yep.
And ultimately, if you needed 100% performance for your business to work out profitably, your margins are too thin anyway, and you need to improve that anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's another topic for another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can talk about that for another half hour.
Other things, guys, we do, like, if you have questions, you can find us on Facebook. You can message us on Facebook, at the Void Podcast on Facebook. You can message us through Tradewinds on Facebook. You can email us questions. Couple of emails for you. AskMitch@MitchSmedley.com is one of them. Mitch@TradewindsConsulting.com is another. David@TradewindsConsulting.com is another.
You should seriously send me stuff because you will get sarcastic comments back.
Yeah, if you want sarcastic responses, email Dave. If you want
serious shit, talk to Mitch.
Yep. So, and then on top of all of that, again, message us on Facebook or whatever the case may be. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.